Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Umagina Timirandasya Ganagana Salakaya Chaksun Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadanti Svadadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Bhadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Sajivam Advaitam Sadvarhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishika Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Dapta Kanchan Nagorange Radhe Vindavanishri Vishanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. We are 10th canto, 4th chapter, Trustees of King Kamsa, verse 43. Shri Sukha Uvacha Evam Durmantrivi Kamsaha Saha Samantraya Durmati Brahma Himsam Hitam Mene Kala Prasavrito Suraha Shri Sugavacha Evam Durman Trivir Kamsa Saha Sammantraya Durmati Brahma Himsam Hitam Mene Kala Prasavrito Suraha Shri Sukhuvacha Evam Durmantri Virkamsa Saha Sammantraya Durmati Brahma Himsam Hitam Mene Kala Prasavrito Suraha Shri Sugavacha Evam Turmantri Vikamsa Sahasamantriya Durmahi Rama Him Samhitam Mene Palakasavito Surah Shri Sukhobacha Evam Dumantri Vikamsaha Sahasamantatumati Brahmahinsam hitam nene Kalapasa vrito suraha Shri Sukha Vacha Evam Durman Jivitam Sa Sahasam Mantriya Durmati Ramahim Samhitam Mene Kala Prasadito Surah Vaishnavis Shri Sukha Vacha Evam Durmati Sa Sahasama Triya Durvati Ramahisamitamene Kalaprasa Vrito Suraha Shri Sukha Vacha Samantriya Dharmahi Brahmahi Samhitam Mene Kalaprasavito Saraha Shisukopacha Evam Dharmantribhikamsa Saha Samantriya Dharmahi Ramahim Samhitam Mene Kala Prasavito Saraha Shri Sukhavacha
Shri Sukadeva Goswami said Evam in this way Durman Trivihi his bad ministers Kamsaha, King Kamsa, Saha, along with Samantreya, after considering very elaborately, Durmati, without good intelligence, Brahmahinsam, persecution of the Brahmanas, Hitam, as the best way. Mene, accepted. Kala prasa avritaha, being bound by the rules and regulations of Yamaraj. Asuraha, because he was a demon. Srila Prabhupada's purport and translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus having considered the instructions of his bad ministers, Kamsa, who was bound by the laws of Yamaraj and devoid of good intelligence because he was a demon, decided to persecute the saintly persons, the brahmanas, as the only way to achieve his own good fortune. And please repeat. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thus having considered the instructions of his bad ministers, Kamsa, who was bound by the laws of Yamaraj and devoid of good intelligence because he was a demon, decided to persecute the saintly persons, the Brahmanas, as the only way to achieve his own good fortune. Srila Lokanath Das Thakur has sung Apana Karma Bhujaye Samana Kahaye Lochanadas. Instead of taking good instructions from the sages and the Shastras, godless non-devotees act whimsically according to their own plans, Actually, however, no one has his own plans because everyone is bound by the laws of nature and must act according to his tendency and material condition of life. Therefore, one must change one's own decision and follow the decision of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Then one is rescued from punishment by Yamaraj. Kamsa was not uneducated. It appears from his talks with Vasudeva and Devaki that he knew all about the laws of nature. But because of his association with bad ministers, he could not make a clear decision about his welfare. Therefore, the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila 2254 says, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kaya, Lava Mantra, Sadhu Shake, Sava Siddhi Haya. If one desires his real welfare, he must associate with devotees and saintly persons and in this way rectify the material condition of his life. Jai. So just like when I put on my glasses, the words on the page come together and make sense when I look at them. Similarly, when we read Srila Prabhupada's books and his purports, the words of the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, it makes sense to us. We can understand it. Without the vision of the pure devotee and the spiritual master, one cannot have really good guidance. When I was a young person, I worked for a place called Mystic Arts in Laguna Beach. And we went up to Cost Plus and purchased a whole bunch of the old Bijavasi paintings. And they were so beautiful. We all found them beautiful and they were interesting. But we had no idea what they were about. We put them in our shops. We put them in our homes. But we couldn't understand them. There was this one picture I had in the shop where I worked, and it was a beautiful lady, and she was running after this little blue boy with a stick. Could not make sense of this story. Not until Prabhupada gave us Krishna book. And Prabhupada, he wants us to read Krishna book. He wants us to distribute Krishna book. And he wants the people that we distribute Krishna book to read it also. And he taught us, he says, don't just give the books away. Have them give you some money for the books because then they'll value them. And hopefully they'll put them on their shelf and they will read them. Because there's so much information in the Srimad Bhagavatam in Krishna book. There's two ways we understand these pastimes of Lord Krishna. And one is we factually accept them and everything that's said about them. And Prabhupada made that very clear. We can't always understand or comprehend different details, but that doesn't matter. We just accept because we have faith in the spiritual master. And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives us instruction in his Chaitanya Chastikam that there's symbolism and there's instructions through the stories of the Brajalila. There's relevant information that we may need on our path of bhakti yoga. And in this particular situation, he called Kamsa the head of mundane religion. What is mundane religion? Mundane religion is a religion that doesn't want to talk about Krishna. Mundane religion is responsible for some of the most terrible, heinous acts of human society in the history of this world. There's been genocide, human trafficking, child abuse, all based on mundane religion. Even atheistic criminals are aghast by the activities of mundane religion. Just recently, there was an attack on an ISKCON temple in Bangladesh by some Muslims who were just incited by their clergy to attack the temple. This is mundane religion. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, the idea of an organized church in an intelligent form marks the end of a spiritual movement. He also said that no religious arrangement has ever worked properly yet. But then we have to be a little introspective and say, well, what are we doing? Are we not organizing a religion? How do we keep it from becoming something perverse, something anti-religious in its essence? We need to explore this concept in our own hearts. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he commented on the 10th canto and 6th chapter, where there is sacrifice, yajna, in these places where people engage in scriptural duties like fire sacrifice without hearing the pastimes, the holy name, or devotional duties, in these places, the Rakshasis, like Putana, who suck the blood of children, become powerful. But they have no power or influence with the primary activities of acts of devotion. That verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 7th canto, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnur Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vadanam Dasyam Sakyam Adivedamam. Sri Prahlad, he states in that verse, hearing, chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of the Lord, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming His servant, considering the Lord's one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto Him. In other words, serving Him with body, mind, and words. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through the 9 methods will understand and become the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Knowledge, knowingly or unknowingly, if one performs these activities, one becomes perfected, Srila Prabhupada says. Other activities on their own, without connection to these things, may give some material benefit, but it won't give perfection of life. Kamsa, the head of mundane religion, why is that? Well, he appeared like qualified son of Ugrasena. Ugrasena was a great Vaishnava, a great king. And I told the story a few months back. Do you remember the story about how Kamsa became the son of Ugrasena? Because he's not actually the real son of Ugrasena. Do you remember that? Yeah? Well, that's the point. He wasn't actually the son of Ugrasena. So people who take up heads of religion are not actually learned. They have some education, but they don't have the realization. There's a difference between knowing how to say something and understanding how to say something. And Kamsa was extremely powerful. Even when people were outraged by his activities towards Devaki and Vasudev, they would go and try to talk to him. He was able to turn them around and convince them that he was right, and they became his allies. And he could speak philosophy, we saw that. But he couldn't understand it. So if we won't have to worry in our movement, if we keep a tight connection to the process of devotional service, these stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam can help guide us, because even some of us, maybe in the past or maybe in the future, will have experience with some leaders who may not be so purified or have some problems. What do we do? Complain to the GBC, the FBI, the CIA, No, we cry for Krishna, and he will come. Because what we get is what we cry for, is what we want. No one is to blame but ourselves. We are the problem. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, false religions can only exist because there are false followers. Kamsa had two wives, Asti and Prapti. They were actually the daughters of Jarasandha, and we know how evil Jarasandha was, right? Asti, interesting meaning to her name. It means easy, relax. And that's what religions often teach. Oh, just come to church once a week. In fact, in America, if you go to church once a week, you're considered a very pious person. True, huh? And then Prapti. It means, oh, acquire material things. But the wealth of the brahmanas is austerity. According to Varnashram Dharma, we all have a different level of austerity that we need to perform. It's a personal thing. I can't dictate to you what austerities you should be doing. You can't dictate to them. But Srila Prabhupada has given us some basic austerities. We need to embrace austerity in our life. We need to embrace it because it is the wealth of the brahmanas. Remember the story of Bilabhangal Thakur? Remember how hard he went to such trouble to go see his prostitute? He swam through crocodile-infested waters. He walked on snakes, thinking they were logs, only to get to her house, and she told him, oh, it's too late. Why don't you come earlier? And he explains all the difficulty he went through. It was a monsoon. I had to swim across the river. She says, if you had just a little of that devotion towards Krishna, you would be such a great devotee. Similarly, if we just put a little effort, a little devotion, it'll increase our ability to be a devotee. In the 60s, I can remember, I went to parochial school, and I can remember there was a big concern of all the churches, actually, not just in Catholic, but also the Christian churches. People weren't joining. People weren't coming to church. They weren't interested anymore. Because up until that time, simplicity of life, humility, not acquiring a lot of material things, this was what was taught through the Christian education. But then people weren't coming, so they had this big economical council in which they invited all the different heads of the different sects, like the Dominican priests and the Franciscans and the Carmelite nuns and all of them. They brought them all together, and they had this huge conference to figure out, how can we get people to join the church again and come to church? And their solution was, well, they used to have this no meat on Fridays. We didn't eat any meat on Fridays. They said, well, we can't tell them that anymore. That's not important. So they get away with that. And the other thing they did away with, well, don't tell them they can't take birth control. They don't like that. And don't tell them they can't get divorced because they're not coming because they're getting divorced. So instead of upholding the principles of religion, they started slacking in order to get people to come. And the sociologists even had a name for this. They called it success gospel. Because they started preaching to people, if you give some money to the church, you'll become wealthy. You'll become successful. And even this tele-evangelical preaching through the TV started up. And that's become such a scam. They have people sending seed money, they call it, right? Is that what they call it, seed money? You send in a couple dollars and, oh, God will give you so many dollars back. Meanwhile, the only person getting wealthy are these evangelical preachers. And they have all kinds of material acquirements. So, Prapti, acquiring material wealth. We have to be careful not to preach that way because devotees' lives aren't always that nice. or materially that nice. They're nice, but in a different kind of way. In a kind of way that an ordinary, mundane consciousness cannot understand. Devotees aren't concerned about having an easy life or a materially rich life. They don't pray for, we have so many prayers that say, don't give me a beautiful wife. Don't give me lots of opulences or many followers. Just give me pure, unconditional devotional service. Asti and Prapti are not about these things. Asti and Prapti attract bogus disciples. Bona fide disciples, they cry for Krishna. We can't tell who's a bona fide disciple by just looking at them. I think, well, and it's just shaved up. Not necessarily. There's a saying, just because you're standing in the garage doesn't mean you have a car. But just because we can dress in devotional paraphernalia doesn't mean we have a devotional heart. Only we can tell, what are we thinking about? Are we thinking about, oh, how cool am I playing kartals? Or are we thinking, how can I play these kartals that really please Krishna, really please my spiritual master? So what is the value of a rotten son of a good father? Kamsa was a rotten son of Ugrasena. He even imprisoned him. What was his value? Do you know who Mahatma Gandhi is, right? Do you know who Mahatma Gandhi's son was? No. Mahatma Gandhi's son was a drunkard. He was also a drug user. He ate meat. He became a Muslim. He had so many prostitutes, he ended up dying of a sexually transmitted disease. Srila Prabhupada says two things come from the same place, urine and a son. But it's our responsibility. Are we a good son, a daughter of our spiritual master? Or are we just for show? Are we just here for our enjoyment? Are we talking about Krishna? This is what will keep our movement from becoming mundane, ordinary. And this is what will protect us from kamsas seeping in. Because they have in the past. Some kamsas have seeped in. They've left. They don't stay long. I wanted to share with you a story that just something that just happened, and I was so blown away by it. I really felt it was something to share with the devotees. But Mahatma mentioned the other day about how Prabhupada rejected two disciples. And actually, I was speaking with this Rabindra Swarup Prabhu. He had listened to the tape of their conversation with Srila Prabhupada, and they were so offensive to Srila Prabhupada. They had appeared before him and with long hairs and challenging the way he was running the movement and challenging things that he had said in Krishna book. And finally, Srila Prabhupada, he could see the frugality of the situation. He says, you may not need a spiritual master, I do. You may go out, enjoy the material world, make lots of money. And he rejected them. And so these two personalities, they went out in the material world. One of them, his name was Kanupriya. He left his wife and three daughters. Fortunately for him, his wife was a good devotee and his three daughters were raised devotees. A couple months ago, he learned he was dying. He had cancer. So they did all those things they do, chemotherapy, radiation, and operations. And still nothing was working. And then about May, he sent one of his daughters a card, a picture, a card of Radha and Krishna. And he said, I want to be a devotee of Radha and Krishna. Now this is, I thought was just so amazing. That for 40 years, this guy has been gone. Not trying to think of Krishna at all, but Krishna in the heart somehow gave him the desire to remember. And then from there, He had a friend who couldn't even come and see him. She couldn't even stand to see how much pain he was in. He was on the highest drip of morphine because his situation was so painful. And she couldn't stand to see it. She couldn't do anything for him. So she paid for two of his daughters to come out here from Alachua to be with him while he was dying. And they brought Harinam chadar, they covered him in. They brought Prabhupada chanting. They brought garlands, tulsi, radhakund. I said, such an amazing thing. This person who was so offensive, that Prabhupada, so merciful, that when he needed him the most at the time of death, he protected him from Yamaraj. Such amazing thing. Such amazing process we're here. Not that we should take it lightly or that we should be frivolous and foolish like they were, but we can just be comfortable knowing that Krishna really truly takes care of. He never forgets. He's not ungrateful for our service, even though we may not be aware. He's very much aware of us. So I wanted to give you some homework on this prayer that Prabhupada mentions in this verse, is by Lochan Das Thakur. It's in our songbook. It's in the back. And there's a beautiful purport that Prabhupada is in there, that Prabhupada gave to this song. So the homework is that you read this over tonight, or maybe even get together with other friends and sing this bhajan. It's a beautiful prayer to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So I'm going to end here. Is there any questions or anyone like to? Yes, Prabhu. Let's give him a microphone, please.
Thank you, Mata, for a nice class. I appreciate the honest and straightforward, constructive feedback about, you know, at least in my life, how I can become more sincere and dedicated. I was just reflecting on the translation to the verse where Kamsa's ministers gave him bad advice to go and directed him to become more heinous. And I was thinking, like, on book distribution, a lot of people take the books, and sometimes there's a disagreement with the other family members, and one will say, don't take it, but they'll take it, you know. But then sometimes a person will be about to take their book, or they'll open their wallet, and the family member will say, you don't need that. No, don't take it, you know. And they'll give them advice, and I just think about, like, in the translation, that when there's a moment kind of where a person can make spiritual advancement, in that moment somebody else drags them down, Maya just comes and says, no, come on, you should stay here.
Yeah.
It's a better life.
I think that's a good point, because that was also a very strong point Prabhupada made in the purport about sadhu sangha. We have to keep good association. We give up association of those people that are not so interested in talking about Krishna. Yes, Sachidula.
Thank you very much, Mataji. I also was reflecting at the same point of sadhu sangha. How important in our lives is to have the association of a devotee. And in the last story that you just related to, of those disciples that apparently were like rejected by Srila Prabhupada, the end of that story also made me reflect about how, by having some relatives far away, I mean the daughters came to see him, devotees, because they still, they're devotees. So just that fact of having someone, a friend or a relative,
so fortunate.
It's so fortunate. We cannot even overestimate. And sometimes it can be, you know, like bewildering. How is it that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time apparently rejected Krishna Das because of he went with the gypsies, with the women, and then he says, go, just go. But then the disciples, some devotees, they arranged somehow to give him some service. You remember the story of Kali? I think his name is Kali Krishna. I can't remember the name of the devotee. Kali Krishna. Kali Krishna Das. So, yeah, he was apprenticed by the Lord himself. But the devotees, being so kind to him, they engaged him in service. And yeah, there are many stories like that too.
Yeah, there's many stories how the devotees are more kind than Krishna himself.
So in this particular case, some disciples of Prabhupada who still attract, I mean, love Prabhupada, and they see the benefit of someone, how they can rescue that person even in spite of being apparently not understanding his own spiritual master. Thank you.
So Mataji, he sent his daughter's photo of Radha Krishna, or his daughter sent him? He sent a postcard with photo of...
To his daughter, yes. He sent a postcard of a picture of Radha Krishna. And he said, I want to be a disciple of Radha and Krishna. Of course, we can't become a direct disciple of Radha Krishna. That's absurd. We have to go through a spiritual master. But the fact that he had that sentiment, that was amazing to me after all these years of living so foolishly. That was merciful. Merciful that Krishna allowed him to have that feeling, that remembrance.
Yes. It is so wonderful. Because at the last moment of his life, if he remembers Radha Krishna, he will go back to God.
He can't go directly to Radha Krishna. He can't go directly. You have to go to his spiritual master. Karuna?
Thank you for a very nice class, Mother Nagapatni. You mentioned about, in the name of religions, atrocities are performed, like genocide or child molestation or violence, people being cruel to each other in the name of religion. So, I was wondering, I'm playing the devil's advocate now, but ISKCON has developed different offices like conflict resolution, marriage counseling, child protection,
mm-hmm.
Communications, ISKCON communications, in order to prevent mishaps, So mm-hmm. I'm wondering, sometimes devotees, they feel that these offices are extracurricular and they're mundane. So yeah, I get that. I get that from devotees from time to time. So I'm wondering, are they? Can they fall into? Do that sort of thing fall into a mundane category?
Can become mundane if it's not connected directly with devotional service. So that's the thing, that any of our activities can become mundane, except for the nine processes. So everything that we're doing needs to be tied into those nine processes, starting with hearing and chanting. So that's the thing about religions, is they have a tendency to become degraded, that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was pointing out, and especially in this age of Kali. And Srila Prabhupada says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that demons have joined our movement and caused problems. So, we have a security system that looks over, that takes care of the temple. We should have security systems that protect the devotees. That's nice. That's good development, because we're a big society and we need to protect our children. And we need to have some form of resolution of different issues. But we can't individually, we can't let that service take us away from our primary devotional service.
Thank you.
Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Your mother? I haven't seen her. She's working. Bring her this. Thank you.